Joining me now is cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough. Dr. McCullough, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for making time for us.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You are so busy. Tell me what's the latest you're up to. I have some articles I pulled up here a while ago where you are writing about some things on your Substack, but what particularly is on your mind tonight?
We are in a public health crisis, Brandon, of sudden cardiac death, of actually cardiac arrest. Now, every day, the reports are coming in at a more intense pace, virtually every day. Dr. Polycritis and myself, he's from Italy, summarized the athletic deaths in the European soccer leagues. And to give you an idea of where we are, we published this in one of the European journals of immunology in a letter to the editor. Before the vaccines, all the leagues, all the semi-pro leagues, there's a ton of them, 29 cardiac arrests per year. We looked at a blog database, and the blog database had listed a total of all the athletes present, retired, cardiac arrests, and just deaths. They had a number that had accrued to 1,598 cardiac arrests. 1,101 of them were fatal. But we asked really, you know, under age 35, active players, could we get something that would be comparable to prior to the vaccine? And the annualized number now of sudden cardiac deaths in athletes under age 35 actively playing is 283 per year. So it went from 29 per year to 283. It's a tenfold rise. It's the best data we have. Epoch Times is reporting 270 American athletes of different sports have died. And of course, you saw what happened to Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
Player DeMar Hamlin now 10 days ago.
Yeah. And do you believe that was, I guess from your reporting in that 10 days, you believe that was, you know, myocarditis or inflammation of the heart and then taking the strong hit or the sudden, you know, burst of energy and adrenaline and then collapsing? You believe that's related, that's shot related?
I went on Tucker Carlson within 24 hours, really kind of an emergency broadcast. And, you know, I told America, I said, listen, he had a cardiac arrest. I looked at all the parameters. I watched what happened. I had published on cardiac arrest with Rick Thompson in the 1990s American Journal of Cardiology. And Hamlin's, all of his parameters told me he was going to survive. I told America that night he's going to survive. He's going to neurologically recover. People were saying, Dr. McCullough, how do you know? There's doctors saying he's brain dead. There's doctors saying all kinds of things. I said, listen, because I'm an expert. America's been listening to me for 3 years. Of course I was right. He survives, as he should, and got very good care on the field, good care in the hospital. And what I want the audience to understand is there's a relationship here. This is the contextually what happened. The White House and the Health and Human Services early in 2021 announced a program called the COVID Community Core Program. $13 billion floated from the government to private entities. A prominent recipient of money in this program was the NFL. So the NFL took our taxpayer dollars to promote the vaccines. Then in June of 2021, the FDA comes out and says the vaccines cause myocarditis or heart damage. And the guidelines for cardiologists tell us we can't let a player with myocarditis play because they could have a cardiac arrest. That was in our guidelines before COVID. Then in the summer of 2021, the NFL says, well, we're going to have a mandate. The Player Association says, you know, we don't want a mandate. And there's this tension. And finally, the NFL says, we're going to mandate this. So the NFL runs mandates from August of 2021 to March of 2022. Then they drop them. They drop them. No explanation. They drop all the COVID protocols. You never hear about COVID in the NFL after March of 2022. You just don't hear about it.
Wow. We have breaking news. Show my screen here, guys. Breaking news. TMZ is reporting, sadly, Lisa Marie Presley dead at 54 after cardiac arrest. Of course, we're outside of Memphis. We are a tourist destination for many, many people to come to Graceland. It, where she was, I believe, at Graceland the day her father died. She comes to Graceland, not uncommon, used to be at least once a year. I don't know the last few years, but she was not uncommon to be seen on the news. The doctor, I mean, she's only 54. What they're saying here is we knew that she'd been taken to the hospital. I think everybody's probably aware that she'd been taken to the hospital. But the sad news is coming in now that, according to family, TMZ is reporting she has passed away. The word was that she was rushed to the hospital after her housekeeper found her unresponsive. Her ex-husband was there and performed CPR until paramedics arrived and took over. They administered at least one dose of epinephrine. How do you say that? Is that right?
Yeah, epinephrine. But let me tell you here, Brandon, this is one of just a string of many, many cases. She wasn't as lucky as Damar Hamlin. Damar Hamlin had a witness cardiac arrest on the field Monday Night Football. She's found dead at home. And what we know here, it's very important. What we know here is that, you know, in each case now, it's a public health priority. We have to know if they're vaccinated. And there's a paper by Schwab and colleagues from Heidelberg, Germany, that has shown people found dead at home like her, that if they've taken the vaccine, 71% of the time, it's a vaccine fatal injury that caused the sudden death. So whether it's myocarditis, a fatal blood clot, intracranial hemorrhage. So in her case, in all these cases, we must know the vaccine status. It cannot be kept a mystery. With Damar Hamlin, we're 10 days into it, and he has not come out and told us. His family hasn't. The Bills doctors. Now, they've told us all kinds of other personal health information, how much oxygen, all the IV lines, and this and that. So it's not like he's keeping his protected health information a secret. Every case, they have to come out and announce the vaccine status. It's very helpful. It's a public health priority to know this. If she took the vaccine, we need to know the dose and the brand and whether or not it's implicated with the cardiac arrest. What I've said with Hamlin is that we have this straight rhyme relationship, right? So the players were mandated to take the vaccine. The FDA says the vaccines cause heart damage and blood clots. And when the autopsies are done, they find blood clots and heart damage. And now we have these cases like Hamlin, unfortunately, like Presley, who doesn't make it, and countless others. We're in a crisis of sudden cardiac death.
Absolutely. On my Worldview Report tonight, my 30-minute nightly newscast, I reported on one young person after another dying. Collapsing and dying in their sleep. A student found dead in the bathroom. Just one after another. I mean, I could have spent the whole night, 30 minutes straight, reporting one story after another, and I wouldn't have covered them all. We had more. And yet, I hear, doctor, that the CDC, vaccine benefits outweigh risks for young males. Have you heard that?
It's they're simply at this point in time, the CDC is unmoored. The CDC and the FDA are administering the vaccine program. They are conflicted. They've been told to get a needle in every arm. We can't have them giving us a risk benefit analysis. We need separate independent experts. I would be such an expert to give a risk benefit analysis. And I can tell you, it's been published in the peer reviewed literature. Freeman and colleagues from LSU has published it from the original clinical trials. The risks of the vaccines outweighed the benefits. The original randomized trials were a no-go. There were more serious adverse events with the vaccines than they actually helped anybody.
At petermcculloughmd.substack.com, petermcculloughmd.substack.com. Here's from January 9th. Explosive increase in cardiac symptoms after second injection, subtitled Adolescent COVID-19 Vaccination Results in cardiotoxicity and ECG changes promoting concern. Doctor?
Well, here we have a report, a large study from Thailand. From Asia, I think Taiwan. And you know, they just characterize symptoms of young people. These are teenagers, young people getting the vaccine. 17% have cardiovascular symptoms. This is going to be too hard to sort out who's really having heart damage and who isn't. They tried to get EKGs on the kids, and the EKGs were very abnormal in a lot of them. This is a tsunami. We have four sources of survey data now that are studying. We have the VSafe data from the CDC. Shockingly, 7 to 8% of people who take a vaccine are so sick they have to go to the urgent care, ER, or be hospitalized right away. That's how toxic they are. 25% are incapacitated that day or the day after. We've got the Zogby report says survey, 15% of people now have chronic diseases they're dealing with after the vaccine. Skidmore survey, MSU, fully published now. Michigan State University, 22% know somebody who's been severely damaged by the vaccine. And then the last thing was the bombshell was over the holidays, the Rasmussen report, 28% of Americans know somebody who's died of the COVID-19 vaccine.
And yet it just keeps going. I mean, they're still promoting. They're still asking for it. I mean, is 2023 going to be a year where we just get, I don't know how you can, but is this 2023 a year where you just get used to hearing about young people dying?
We shouldn't. I've been called out as the first public figure to express concerns about the safety of the vaccines in March of 2021 in the Texas Senate. We had the World Council for Health, after multiple stern warnings, called for them to be pulled off the market June of 2022. And now in the U.S. Senate, December 7, 2022, I concluded the three-hour session I co-moderated, and I told America the vaccines have to be pulled off the market. So we have official calls to pull them off the market. The companies either have to do it or the FDA has to do it, but it has to be done. Andrew Brigden, UK Member of Parliament, the same thing. He's made the call. Malcolm Roberts in Australia. Prashant Bhushan in the Supreme Court of India has made the call. All over the world now, the vaccines are not safe for human use. They have to be pulled off the market. Otherwise, we're going to see more cases like Presley.
Look at this headline by Dr. McCullough again, January 11th at his Substack. Inherited risk of sudden death triggered by COVID-19 vaccination. You say something that's very interesting in this article, and that is genetic conditions. So when we talk about some people getting the shot and nothing happens, and others something happens pretty drastically, there could be a genetic connection. Some people might be genetically disposed. Is that right?
It's true. Two papers from Asia have found, they're asking the question, why do some people die like Presley or have a cardiac arrest like, and why are other people fine? And they found that at least one known sodium mutation, the SCN5A mutation, it results in a EKG pattern called Brugada that can express periodically. But some of these are latent and they're not clinically recognized on the EKG. But two out of two papers show that there is at least a hint of genetic predisposition. So that means out there, watch out if someone is carrying one of these mutations, they get the vaccine, their number could come up. And when these cardiac arrests occur, they are completely unpredictable. There are two times of the day. There's a fireman who died in the last 24 hours. He died in his bunk. So 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. and then with sports and on the playing field. Those two times, because there's a surge of adrenaline during both of those periods of time. And that seems to be a trigger, at least in some cases. Now, the other fatal cause is pulmonary embolism or blood clots. And someone who dies during the day, like Presley, and when they come out there and they put the defibrillator pads on and it's not a shockable rhythm, all they can do is give epinephrine. To me, that's looking down towards a fatal blood clot or pulmonary embolism.
Oof. Now, I understand the heart, the adrenaline coming for someone on a field. But that's very interesting. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. What's going on there?
Yeah, the normal waking cycle, believe it or not, we all wake up in the morning because we have an internal surge of adrenaline, cortisol, and other stimulants. The body does it. The body has a standard circadian rhythm. And so it's very interesting. But we've seen, a Democratic congressman from Illinois, Sean Casten, very promoting vaccines, going to vaccinate his family. His beautiful 17-year-old daughter, perfectly healthy.
Right.
She dies right during that time period. Then he comes out and says she died of a cardiac arrhythmia in her sleep, previously healthy. With that, what I'm saying is, listen, unless they have prior heart disease that's known or cancer or suicide or drug overdose, it is the vaccine until proven otherwise. And the parents and the family have a responsibility. There's another case out there, last 48 hours, a boy has a cardiac arrest on the basketball court. And immediately the mother said, listen, he had cardiac surgery. He's had a pulmonic valve surgery and all of this. And she laid it out. And immediately, everyone could understand that there's prior heart disease. Okay, we can not implicate the vaccine. But the simplest thing is to come out and say, did they take the vaccine or not? And then is there any pre-existing heart disease? In almost all the cases before the vaccines, we know that they have heart disease. We know that they have a problem. And then we know the cardiac arrest could occur. Since the vaccination, these are just coming everywhere. It's every day we hear about another athlete or another prominent figure.
Yeah. Now, I've not been vaccinated, obviously. No one in my family has, and I'm not going to be. Let's say I dropped over dead tomorrow of a heart attack. Being that I've had COVID at least twice, maybe three times, but at least twice, spike proteins are in my system, I'm assuming, from having had COVID. How likely am I to have to worry long-term, even though I have a good history in my family of good, healthy heart, longevity? I'm not genetically predisposed to heart condition because, again, I've got longevity and good hearts in my family. Well, let's say I fall over dead tomorrow of a heart attack. You know, well, House didn't get the shot. He died of COVID. That'll be what they want to say about me, right? But how concerned would my family be saying, well, he never got the shot, but he got COVID at least twice pretty severely. He had the spike proteins in his system. Would you look to that as a contributing factor?
Yeah, I remember when you got COVID, you were pretty sick. Yeah. I recall that in detail. What we know there is a paper from the Veterans Administration has shown that there is a risk period after COVID for having a heart attack or a cardiovascular event, atrial fibrillation, a ventricular arrhythmia. And there, that risk period is about 6 weeks after COVID. And then, then the risks come right down. And most of it's hospitalized COVID. So the Japanese, you know, what they're doing is they use high-dose aspirin for 90 days in the treatment of COVID. So do the Italians. I've tended to do that in patients with atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. Myself, I'm probably a little older than you, but I, you know, I took aspirin myself for 90 days afterwards just to cover myself during that heart attack and stroke risk zone afterwards.
Wow. But I'm really glad I asked that question.
Yeah, no, but it's not a risk forever. What we know with these vaccines is people are taking these vaccines every 6 months, so they keep getting the system juiced with spike protein. And now we're starting to see blood clots, myocarditis, many months afterwards. I've had two ladies in my practice now with blood clots and shooting to the lungs, I mean, potentially fatal, now 18 months after the vaccine.
Wow. Okay, questions. How is it going with the fight for your license?
Well, my license is intact in Texas, but I'm appealing the decertification attempt that's happening by the American Board of Internal Medicine. And boy, I'm in good company. You know, famed psychologist Jordan Peterson in Canada.
Yes.
They're trying to strip him of his psychology credentials.
Yes. All right. Number two, what's the name of the book behind you that you wrote?
The book behind me is Courage to Face COVID-19, coming up on 1,000 five-star ratings on Amazon. And I know you know how hard the book business is.
Yes,
it
is.
Great.
Yes, it is. So give us the title again so they can order it.
It's Courage to Face COVID-19. You can order it on CourageToFaceCovid.com. Get it through Amazon or just get it directly, a little cheaper, directly from the website.
Excellent. And then finally, Dr. John Witcher, my buddy Dr. John Witcher, who's been in studio many times and with me in other parts of the country where our families are close. We communicate regularly. I understand you might be in Mississippi next month.
Well, I'm going to be in Mississippi to help with some key proceedings in the Mississippi Senator Legislature, House of Commons. And I've done that, by the way, in North Carolina, New Hampshire, Colorado, you know, so many other states, Ohio, across the United States. And that's actually where the action happens. I'll tell you, the other place where action happens is the AG, the Attorney General. If people really want to make things happen in their state, Mississippi's been a house of misery with mandates and all kinds of draconian moves. You know, we've been fortunate in Texas. I don't know how you guys in Tennessee and have been, but we've been fortunate in Texas. We've had liberties throughout. So.
Yeah, we've had pretty good liberties as well. Well, Dr. John called me about that the other day, and he and I are talking, and he's interested in us sending our film crew down there and filming it all and making sure that what you guys do and say can get some wide distribution. So I think we might be sending our film crew down there in February to capture a lot of that for him.
Well, sending a film crew is so important. I'll never forget the first time I testified in the U.S. Senate, Brandon, in 2020, no film crew. The only way it was going to come out on C-SPAN, and it was delayed and blocked, and YouTube took it down. And we learned our lesson the second time and thereafter in the U.S. Senate, multiple film teams, multiple interviews before and after. We have to make American lawmakers accountable. And one of the ways we do that is with the camera and the media right on them.
Absolutely. Well, we said we wanted help. If we can send a film crew down there free of charge, we're happy to do it free of charge. I said, look, it's a win for us. We're in the news business. We can get out news. You guys get it filmed. Everybody wins. So I think we'll be sending our film crew.
I think that'll be great. And you know, I'll be happy to come back on these updates. I'm just stunned with what's happened to Presley.
Yeah,
and this is just another case.
It's heartbreaking. Again, we're right outside the outside of Memphis, so we're not far from Graceland at all. And I hate to say it, but I think we're gonna see her interned, and no one wants to see 54-year-old girl and lady interned there. But my guess is that's where she's gonna be, next to her father and her son is there already. I think, unfortunately, she lost her son, not too long ago.
Well, I mean, let's see how this shakes out. So if there's a ready explanation, a suicide, a drug overdose, it's found out that she had terminal cancer, something like this, that she fell and has bleeding in her brain. Okay. But if there's no readily identifiable answer, and if indeed she's taken a vaccine, and our CDC says 87% of Americans took a vaccine, so most likely she did, it is the vaccine causing myocarditis and precipitating the cardiac arrest or the fatal blood clot until proven otherwise.
Yeah. Ow. Wow. All right. As always, Dr. McCullough, thank you so much for all you're doing. And we want to invite people to go to petermcculloughmd.substack, petermcculloughmd.substack.com. Thanks for all you're doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Peter McCullough checking in. Check out his site, petermcculloughmd.substack.com. All right.